Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Nerd Watch Podcast.
Finally!
Finally! Thank God! Sorry we're running late tonight. We're dealing with some Facebook Live garbage. Big shout out to Facebook Live
thanks,
for hanging
Zuckerberg.
In with us. We really appreciate it. Yeah, thanks, Mark Zuckerberg.
Did our lives just get removed now?
Anyway, yeah, it's been.
He just craps out right there. It's like, oh yeah, boom.
Big shout out to all you guys that are watching on Facebook Live. Big shout out to Jimmy J, the man who's responsible for putting together the amazing Hawaii Comic Con. Thank you so much for joining the show. Invite Jimmy J back, by the way.
I invited him.
Thank God.
Oh, okay. I assume he knows. He's okay. Always welcome here.
Hey, so he said, let's get on with the show.
Let's get Well, we're starting already, my friend. Here we go. Big shout out, of course, to you guys for watching and listening. I want to say that you guys can watch us right here on Facebook Live every single week, every Tuesday night. You guys can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdwatch. Please like the page. Let us know what you think. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at Nerdwatch Nation. Also on Instagram at the_nerdwatch. And you can follow us on YouTube at Nerdwatch Nation as well. And please donate to our Patreon page, patreon.com/thenerdwatch. Now, let me introduce my friends or my friends.
Compatriots.
My compods.
We're more like Facebook friends.
We're more like Facebook friends.
We're like the Pussycats to your Josie.
Yes, yes, yes. To my right, ladies and gentlemen, the comic book artist extraordinaire, who he is the self-proclaimed greatest local comic book artist of all time. It is Todd Bernardi in the house.
I'm second only to Shane O'Shaughnessy.
Shane O'Shaughnessy. Also joining us tonight is the punk rock superstar himself. To his right, the man who has a show this weekend.
It's actually Thursday.
It's a Thursday. Yeah, it's the same thing.
Do your weekend start on Wednesday,
well,
too?
Well, it's summertime, so it's a Thursday. It's the weekend. And then he's
also...
Do you
live in Margaritaville?
He's also the horror aficionado. It's the man himself, Gannon, in the house tonight as well. As you can see, Format could not make it. He had some extenuating circumstances, but he'll be back next week.
He said something about washing his hair, I think.
I think he did. So taking his place, trying to fill his chair but can't, the comic book henchman.
That sounds like a put down.
No, it's
thanks for the self esteem.
It was more of a joke. The fact that Format is just he's such a
that
white imposing
is
gentleman.
Killing me.
It is the one and only Swan is in the house tonight as well. And the man, the chairman of the comic book board, he is what you would consider comic books Lex Luthor. Alika is in the house tonight as well.
I don't want to be Lex Luthor.
Why? Isn't it being Lex Luthor cool or no?
I'm the Django to his dentist.
I think that you're more of
you're more of the Lex Luthor at
Lex
this table.
Luthor.
I would consider myself more of the Kingpin. But, yeah, I can't believe I'm equating myself to a Marvel character.
Show.
Anyway, there's a lot of stuff to talk about, so let's get right down to it. First and foremost, let's get this out of the way. This weekend, we did the premiere for Alien Covenant. So we're going to be talking about that shortly.
That is the correct way to pronounce it.
Why are you saying it weird?
Because I only said it weird because I was almost going to say Convent because I've been watching that Netflix documentary called The Keepers.
I've heard of that. Is it any good?
It's actually really good. It's kind of a slow burn, but the evidence.
You know what I actually dipped into after all the hype? I finished it actually.
What's that?
The Serial podcast.
Isn't that great?
It wasn't as great as everyone. It's like you just spent the whole season riding the middle line, and that at the end you're still on the middle line.
Well, I like that though. I mean, it was
interesting, but yeah. It wasn't rewarding.
What was it about? Like
it was unsolved.
Lucky Charms.
It was a murder that had some interesting things.
It's a serial podcast.
You're a dork.
I would listen to that podcast.
If
it was about Lucky Charms and Fruit Loops, I would listen to it.
You can listen to it as well.
It's a podcast about General Mills.
Yeah. But the host has to do it all in Count Chocula voice.
Yeah. This is the serial podcast, and I'm General Mills. I totally hear that now.
Your joke is better than mine.
Yeah, thanks.
Good job.
Thank you.
You're never funnier than me usually.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Wait, why has nobody mentioned the Trix Rabbit yet? Oh, he's the one that got murdered on the Serial podcast.
That's a good point.
Tricks aren't for kids
this
anymore.
This is already more captivating than whatever that other show's about.
Yeah, it absolutely is. But before we get into all the exciting and kind of sad news that we have today, we do want to let you guys know that here at 333 Dairy Road in Kahului, Maui Comics and Collectibles has an amazing assortment of comic books and collectibles and retro games that you want to take part in. Come down and check it out if you're here in Kahului Town. It's 333 Dairy Road in Kahului. It is New Comic Book Wednesday tomorrow, and today was 20% off Tuesday.
You missed it.
Yeah, well, you missed it, but Todd hasn't. He's going to be picking up his. Yeah. Did he ever get his 30 comics?
What?
I did. I got... what? Oh, no, no. I need to get my 33 comics for my 33.
Yeah. Okay, I was just checking.
It's going to be like 33 from the bargain bin.
From the bargain bin.
It's going to be... It's
and it'll be like 33 copies of the same book that I can't give away.
It's going to be 30...
It's going to be Spawn number ones. That's all.
It's going to be Scarlet Spiders.
That's pretty awesome.
From the 90s, like the Clone Wars.
Oh, that'd be so awesome.
I smell a clone conspiracy.
Yeah. But, of course, you can check out Alika and the one and only Swan here at 333 Dairy Road in Kahului.
He's not the only Swan.
He's the third Swan.
He met a family of six Swans.
No, the story is, I was going to go to the bathroom with my son, Swan, and this guy stopped me. He's like, did you just call your son, Swan? I'm Swan Sr. This is my son, Swan Jr. This is my other son, Swan the third, my son, Swan the fourth, and my grandson, Swan the fifth.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was really
trippy. Man, this might as well be the Bob Newhart show.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is the most uninteresting
and his brother, Daryl.
Yeah, his other brother, Daryl. That's good.
The Daryls were my favorite part of that show.
Anyway, back to the point. 333 Dairy Road, Kahului, Alika has a wonderful shop here called Maui Comics and Collectibles. Every single Wednesday is full price comic book Wednesday. You can pick up your new comics right here. So let's find out what's new in comics this week at Maui Comics and Collectibles.
Going in alphabetical order again.
Going.
Action Comics 980.
Why is that always number one?
Because it's the first one alphabetically.
Oh, okay.
All new Guardians of the Galaxy number two.
Is there anything new about them?
It's the movie crew.
Okay.
That's why they got to make it so that it's comic canon.
I'm a little upset because it's not written by CM Punk.
Well, Drax.
Drax yeah. was, yeah.
That, well, was, I that went, what, that 11 actually, issues?
Uh-huh.
No, 14.
Well, I 14. Found out something interesting, and I never thought about it. The Drax that's in the movie is gray, but the Drax in the comic is green. Is there a significance that I'm missing?
Not really.
I can't tell the difference.
Green paint's cheaper in comics.
Oh, okay.
What?
Apparently. But it's not cheaper in the movie world. Gray paint's cheaper in the movie world.
Here on the Nerd Watch, we're all colorblind to skin color, so we don't.
Yeah,
see
I was going to say, why does it matter?
Why does it matter to you what color his skin is?
I was genuinely.
Were you about to call it greenwashing?
I was talking. Man. I was speaking with a nerd, and a nerd told me that there is
Guardians so green.
Hashtag Oscar is so green.
Well,
okay.
Go continuing.
Ahead. Thank you.
No, we got two.
Batgirl number 11. Batman Beyond number 8. Batman in the Shadow number 2 of 6.
Ah.
Ben Reilly, the Scarlet Spider number 2. Mm. Black Hammer number 9. That's an independent comic that's been pretty popular.
Wow.
Blue Beetle number 9. Detective Comics 957. Let's see. What else do we got here? Doctor Strange and the Sorcerer Supreme number 8. East of West, number 33.
Did you say Doctor Strange and the Sorcerer Supremes?
Yeah, and the Sorcerer Supreme.
Oh,
yeah.
I was going to say, and the Sorcerer Supremes. It's like, East what of, the?
It's like a burrito East, order.
East, or a band, or a group.
Yeah, yeah.
East of West you would like.
Oh, would I?
Yeah, it's a alternative history of the continental United States.
Oh, okay.
Is yeah, it, and you know how G likes revisionist history.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So
anybody read Howard Zinn lately? Don't get me started. Anyway, moving on.
You already started.
Yeah, I did.
Famous Monsters of Filmland magazine, if anybody... It's a good magazine.
Is it cool?
Okay. Yeah. Ghostbusters. It's been around since the 50s.
Is there naked pictures in it?
No, there isn't, Todd.
No, okay.
Full page spreads of Bride of Frankenstein.
Why would you ask?
<'Cause I'm,
laughs> That's right. Nothing sells magazines like a naked Elsa Lanchester from Bride of Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Right.
You could I feel like you're joking, but I would want to see that.
Todd, you can draw your own naked pictures. Why waste your time?
I'm asking for a friend, Gannon. And
like, I'm not even sure if she's alive, but I
she's
want
not
to
alive.
That.
She passed away a long time ago.
I'd still look at that.
Wow.
Ghostbusters 101 number 3. Hellblazer number 10. I Am Groot number 1 is coming out tomorrow. Oh. Big hit from Marvel.
Wow, I can't believe it.
Man, the dialogue on that.
I know, I was
going
to tell you, those comic book bubbles, baby. Those dialogue bubbles, I Am Groot, must be exhausting to write for every single panel.
Jim Henson, Power of the Dark Crystal number 3 of
12. That's what we wanted to talk about as well. Put that down. Before I forget it, the Dark Crystal reboot. I don't want to forget about that.
It's a it's a Labyrinth sequel.
They're actually talking about doing a Labyrinth too.
No, they
who's going to have a package like David Bowie, and then who's going to have the confidence to
Can I tell you
Mick
who?
Spandex in front
who
of
do you
he's
think?
Almost dead.
Who would be the number one guy you'd go to for a Labyrinth movie? If you couldn't get David Bowie, who would it be?
Jonah Hill.
Wrong.
Seth Rogen. I'm just kidding. I would not.
Okay, no, wait. I got it. Don Cheadle.
Close.
Yes.
Yeah.
The obvious answer.
He already proved he could do the spandex in his Captain Planet routine.
He keeps referring to his package as the War Machine. No.
Well, that's the magic of the Labyrinth. Is he never directly refers to his package, but that's all you see.
Right. Nice. Magic. Okay, anyway.
So you need someone who can pull that off.
Yeah, anyway.
Who can pull off his package.
Pull off his War Machine.
Oh, I know. I know who could do it.
Who?
Sacha Baron Cohen. He's pretty not... You know, insecure about just leaving it all
out
there.
Yeah, but he would go. He'd be way too far.
It's Disney, so who? The only guy you tap.
He's Jewish. He's not black.
He performed too big.
Oh,
I don't mean his anatomy.
His package.
You need someone who's over the top to wear that Bowie hair and get weird.
Anyway, what else is coming up?
Okay, Justice League of America number 7, Kamandi Challenge number 5 of 12.
That's an awesome read.
You said. Kamandi Challenge.
Kamandi, as in Jack Kirby's Kamandi.
Oh, okay. It sounded like something else that I freaked out about.
Let's go down that road. Todd's a child.
Yes, he is.
Right. I could see him like ready to say something. No, stop.
Did it sound like penis?
No, stop it.
Mass Effect Discovery number 1. Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur number 19. Still going strong. Wow. Not really, kind of. Yeah, it's not long for this world. Mother Panic number 7. That's the young animal, which is the mimic of the Vertigo reprint.
Nice.
Old Guard number 4. Plastic number 205.
Ooh.
Which has got nice art. It's an image book.
It's actually been picking up in popularity as well.
Yeah. Rapture number 1. I'm not sure what that is. Rat Queens number 3. Curtis Weeb in the house. Whoop, whoop.
Whoop. Isn't Weeb coming here soon?
Not soon. September.
Oh, September. Okay.
It'll be soon enough. Redneck number 2. Ringside number 10. That's still going on?
Yeah.
Wow. That's all these are independent. Yeah, sorry.
Nerdwatch Ringside. Okay. That's our wrestling podcast.
These are all weird. Samaritan Veritas and Saucer State, both number 1s.
Okay.
Stuff Todd would write.
Savage Dragon number 224, still going strong.
Savage Dragon.
The Savage Dragon.
That sounds like a band as well.
7 to Eternity number 6, which is a great title.
It sounds like a Steel Dragon cover band.
Shaolin Cowboy, Who Will Stop the Rain, number 2.
Honestly, that's been a popular title amongst us as well.
Shaolin Cowboy?
Yeah.
Really?
It catches a lot of people's attention.
Good art.
It's because of the writing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Sure?
There's no words in that book.
Oh, good. Good.
Star Trek Boldly Go number 8. Strawberry Shortcake Funko Universe.
Whoa. Has a Funko art.
Wait a minute. Not to sidetrack us too much, but did everybody see the Star Trek Discovery preview?
Yeah.
It's Seneca.
Just excited to get a new Star Trek TV show.
It's Seneca Martin Green from Walking Dead who's going to be the captain. First of all, I don't know if I can get a board on this just because.
A board.
Because you hate to see.
We're just going to have to beam you up.
Well, first of all.
You hate to see female protagonists
in positions
of power. First of
all, my male chauvinism definitely precludes from allowing to watch a show with a female captain.
Well, get used to it, buddy.
Yeah, I know.
How did you do with
Captain Janeway? Yeah,
Voyager?
I never watched any one of those.
Liar.
I refused. But my question is
I've seen you in a Janeway cosplay.
It's secretly your favorite, isn't it?
Her pictures in your locker.
It picks up 10 years before Kirk and the crew, we know.
This is movie canon.
And right, apparently. And they say the Klingons look different. And I don't know. It's interesting. I'm kind of surprised. So I don't know.
It's
going to
definitely be better than that. What is it? The Orville show?
Oh, well, the Orville parody of Star Trek looks really good with Seth MacFarlane.
No, it doesn't.
It looks funny.
It didn't elicit a single laugh from me the whole time.
I thought it was...
All right,
I
watched I'm not even done with the comments.
I know, we're talking about... Sorry. Go ahead. Right.
And by the way, Jimmy J said that we carry a lot more independence than most comic stores do. Todd. Want to put it that
Todd.
Way, Todd?
Todrick.
That is your real name.
I know. I think you guys are great.
Right.
I got nothing but love for you guys.
Suicide Squad number 18, Sun Bakery number 3, that's independent.
Sun Bakery
yeah. is actually
Is it
really
actually
good.
About a baker and a
no,
bakery?
No, it's an anthology.
Why are you getting so excited about a
I would love to see you a would comic love about to read rolling a pastry. Dough.
There's actually
He's like donuts.
There's a comic
Wait,
coming
yes!
up. There's a comic coming up called Something in Vine about people who like wine. I'm like you know, I don't judge, but it's like I can't see myself getting into a comic about wine and wine
then
connoisseurs.
It becomes your favorite.
Yeah, it's like Sideways, the comic.
Sideways. I judge, and that sounds stupid. Anyway.
Sorry. We're getting the TMNT Mausers 1/6 scale from Mondo.
Looking forward to those.
I think, or is Mondo, right?
Yeah, it's Mondo.
TMNT Universe number 10.
Mm-hmm.
Venom issue 150. That's the big one from Marvel.
Very interesting that Venom news coming up here on the show.
What's so big about the Venom book anyway?
It's issue 150.
Okay,
people are going to go nuts for it because Marvel knows.
Because nobody ever thought Venom would reset many issues.
Good Lord, are you Wonder Woman joking.
Number Wonder Woman number 23? I knew Venom would reset many issues.
Says the man who's wearing a Venom T-shirt.
I knew.
Yeah.
I just knew because it was in previews 2 months ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Gotcha. All right. So is that pretty much it?
That's it. That's
what
it.
Was the Funkos you were mentioning? The
Those are like one-shot comic issues on IDW. They're doing like a limited release. They have a Ghostbusters, a Ninja Turtles.
We have the X-Files.
It's just one issue of all Funko.
They're drawn
action.
In the style of the Funko.
Oh,
movie.
They're drawn. Yeah. In, okay.
Yeah.
So it's not like a Funko is coming with a comic or
no.
something.
No, no, no. It's no, a comic. No, no.
Don't be ridiculous.
Okay. I know. Roy's
going to love those.
Oh, yeah. Roy Funkotizes everything. Yeah.
I like that
Roy Chang of Pepe Aloha Pepe fame.
I saw the new that there's a bunch of new WWE ones that are coming, like Chris Jericho and Iron Sheik.
Yeah,
those are really cool.
They've been doing
even wrestling in comic books is fake.
Oh, man.
And here's the thing, Todd.
Here we go.
Because
Todd.
I totally am with you that wrestling is fake, but the fact that you say it so much even annoys me. So. I'm going to have to answer back and go, anything that you can tangibly and visibly watch and film and reproduce in a recording is actually real. No, it's real.
Oh, it's real.
Because
that's
it really happened in reality.
Okay,
I feel like if you take
just because the fighting is fake doesn't make wrestling fake.
Just remember that wrestling is real. It's people that are fake.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know, I mean, if you take enjoyment in watching two grown men sweating and rubbing on each other,
which
then that says
do.
A lot about you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Says the man who loves a man in a black sweaty suit and has ears on it, bat ears on it.
You don't see him rubbing up on people.
Oh, he would.
I like how G's trying to defend himself right here.
He
no one wants help.
Guys wearing like thongs and stuff and rubbing on each other in the ring.
Hey,
that's
listen.
A different story.
We're not going to get.
I don't think it is a different.
We're
story.
Not going down this road. Here's what we are going to do, though.
Wait.
What?
I'm not judging it. I'm just
really,
saying that.
I just don't you think that wrestling outfits or costumes are kind of sexist?
I think they're
no,
sexy.
They're definitely sexier yeah. than they are sexist. But
I don't know. I think that there's just too much.
Well, when I start our when we start the Nerd
How's
Watch
sexist?
Wrestling podcast, we'll have you on as a guest. And then we'll talk about the...
I got nothing to say about that.
We don't have him as a guest. He hosts the show.
He hosts the show.
I will. I'll host the show. I'll be.
He can serve drinks.
Oh, gosh.
Well, come pick up any wrestling comic and or new comic book here at 333 Derry Road.
Get the good ones.
In Kahului.
WWE.
We have this... Remember that this show is fully fan-funded, and the only sponsor we have is the great people down here at Maui Comics and Collectibles. Come and support them if you're in the Maui area, or even if you're not. Check them out. Google them, check them out. Great comics that are very hard to find comic books, and these guys are passionate about the world of comic books and retro gaming. So let's get back to the show, shall we?
And Amy reminded us just while on the track of Venom that we, in August, David Michelini will be down to the store just to give a reminder.
Oh, he will?
Yeah.
He'll be down to the store here?
Yeah.
He's going to do a signing at Macy's.
No, I thought we were talking about he was going to be at the Amazing Hawaii Comic Con.
Macy's, please don't steal him from us.
They're going to have him outside where the Salvation Army guy goes.
Right. Okay. So now we know that.
In September?
So when is it?
Yeah.
Damn,
that's
unseasonable.
In August.
August? And he'll be here?
We'll have more details as it comes closer.
Yeah, yeah. Thank God. Now we know. Punch him in the face.
You don't even know who that is, I'm sure.
No, I'm just kidding.
He's the writer who created Venom.
That's what I'm saying. That's why.
You just gave him an out to act like he knew that.
That's why I said I was going to punch him in the face. Because he created Venom.
Oh.
Just... Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, sorry.
Wow.
It's okay. It's
making friends. And we have a convention organizer watching us. And you're threatening bodily harm to a creator that could potentially go to a con.
Hey, symbiote lives matter.
David, it's okay. When he throws a punch, he throws it like a wrestler.
That's right.
So
it's not.
Fake.
That's right. It's pulled.
Yeah. He stomps the ground and expects you to react.
That's right.
He does that backhanded thing where he kind of like just grazes you but makes it look really intense.
Right. It's all in the wrist. So anyway, gents, let's get back to business, shall we? Back to the topics at hand. First off on this list, Alien Covenant this weekend. Great premiere, by the way. Thanks for all of you that showed up, and thanks for the Nerd Watch that came out to support the show. Thanks.
You're welcome, G.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah, that was a dig at you guys for having better stuff.
That
to do.
Wasn't. I was just saying thanks for coming. Alien Covenant, the second prequel in Ridley Scott's new Alien trilogy and or possible quadrilogy. Not sure as of yet.
Neither is he.
So Alien Covenant, gents, we went to see it. Let's give a quick recap and review of what we thought of Alien Covenant. So let's start with let's start with Todd. And then we'll move on from there. Todd, you were there in the audience.
Yeah.
Watching Alien Covenant. What'd you think?
It just reminded me of an Aliens movie.
Okay, so, was it enjoyable at all for you, or?
Yeah.
Interesting. You're indifferent.
Yeah, I mean, before I think that like the gore and the violence kind of like is supposed to sort of affect you in a way, but like after you've already, I mean, if you've seen the first one,
sure,
then you kind of know what the beats are going to be,
right?
And there weren't any jump scares. I think the weirdest stuff was the Prometheus stuff, not the alien stuff. I think that the alien stuff was really horrific and dark when it first came out in 79.
I think
everybody wanted that in the Prometheus movie. And then Ridley Scott gave it to everybody, and everybody's like, but it's not like the first one because there's still Prometheus stuff in it.
Interesting.
I was talking again a little bit about this before the show, but it just seems like it's suffering from this Superman Returns, Man of Steel kind of thing, where it's like, you know, everybody wanted like a Christopher Reeves movie.
Right.
They got the Christopher Reeves movie, mm-hmm. and they hated it. And then they got like the darker, more serious Superman, and they hated that. So I think that it's suffering from this sort of like, you know, be just like the original, but don't be too like the original because we want to see something new.
To be fair, I actually enjoyed Superman Returns. My only knock against Superman Returns was the fact it was essentially the very first Superman redone. That's all it was. That's what it felt like, at least to me.
Well, that's what Alien Covenant felt like to me.
I mean,
it felt like, I mean, you've got some new, you know, stage dressing with the Prometheus stuff.
Not a chest burster, but a back burster.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's different.
That's different. But it was cool, though. You got to admit
it went out the other way.
Yeah, it did.
And in the third one, it's going to come out the asshole.
Hey!
I mean, the bunghole. I mean, the...
Watch your language,
he's going
to
get creative. It's going to come out of a knee next time.
A knee, that'd be pretty cool. Gannon...
Out of a urethra.
Gannon, sir, I said it at the premiere, and I told everybody at the premiere to listen to the Nerdwatch podcast, because since you are the horror aficionado, this would be a review that you were going to do, so everybody is waiting patiently with
bated
breath.
Oh, are they really? Are their opinions hinging upon what I think?
I believe so. So
I'm a tastemaker in this situation.
Absolutely.
You know, like Todd said, we were talking about it before we started the show, and it feels like Ridley Scott is straddling this weird line between what he wants to do story-wise, but because he learned his lesson in Prometheus, he's also trying to deliver on what he thinks the fans want. And what you get is the strongest stuff is in the movie is obviously the stuff that Ridley Scott was the most interested in.
Yeah, I agree.
Like the duality between David and Walter, the idea of creationism, the idea of
I think
those are basically the main themes. But I mean,
faith.
Like he plays around with a lot of that.
Yeah.
So when the alien stuff kind of kicks in, like, he even abandons his own rules. Like, the gestation period is super quick.
Yeah.
He jumps straight into the traditional alien scares, and the thing that he forgot about the first alien, and the second one in particular, is that a practical alien is far scarier than a CG one.
Yeah.
Because that thing is ever in the spotlight, and it lacks any sense of being scary.
So I don't. It's a frustrating experience because the stuff that's good is really good,
right?
But the stuff that drags it back into the stuff that's bad, it kind of takes you out. Like the last 20 minutes kind of makes you lose all sense of faith for everything else you built up before that.
Yeah, I can
see that. Like the end of every other Aliens.
Yeah,
well, yeah,
and I mean, but that's ultimately the biggest fall with any Alien film. At the end of the day, you're gonna end up with the same movie,
right?
People show up to a planet, one of them gets infected or whatever, and then the alien comes out and it's attacking them in a spaceship or somewhere,
right?
There's only so many different ways you can do that, and I think Ridley Scott's starting to figure that out, but he's kind of figuring out too late. So he's still trying to tell the story while at the same time giving everybody all the stuff that they want out of an Alien movie.
Yeah, and I think that I think some of the bigger problems for me were...
I feel bad for the guy because he does genuinely seem to have an idea of telling this story. Like, you can kind of get a sense of where he's trying to go with this.
Right.
But he has to deliver on a franchise at the same time.
Right. And I'm sure that's 20th century pressure.
I don't know if it's pressure from them. I think it's more pressure from the audience. Because
you think so?
People are so participatory now.
Yeah.
People's opinions, I mean, we're guilty of that ourselves.
Oh,
we do a podcast. People like online opinion is what's pushing all these franchises in any direction, trying to figure out how to get it right.
That's true.
And for me, the biggest frustration with Covenant is that it doesn't even carry on what Prometheus was saying.
Yeah. I could not agree more.
Because Prometheus is setting you up to be like, all right, we're trying to find answers to what's happening. That's abandoned from minute one. Mm-hmm. It's completely abandoned.
Yeah,
you don't get any payoff for that setup from the first film.
I think because everybody hated Prometheus, though.
And
I think they listened to their Prometheus. But it's a minority.
It's a minority.
There's not enough people that like Prometheus.
Which is a real shame. I think it's a real shame that people don't like Prometheus, because I am one of those guys that, although I was frustrated with it, it was a good frustration in the fact that I wanted to know more.
And in certain cases, Prometheus is a strong film for that, in the same way that Alien Covenant is, too.
Right. This is what Alien Covenant, to me, is what everybody wanted Prometheus to be.
Which is, again, what Todd was saying.
Yeah.
People wanted something with more action.
Yeah.
So Ridley Scott's like, all right, well, I guess I got to deliver on the gore and the action. So he ratchets that up.
Yeah.
But he does it in a modernistic kind of time where everything's all CG and big, huge set pieces.
Yeah.
Things like that whole big set piece with that ship at the end where it's dangling off the sides, running up the sides. I was like, this is too big. Mm-hmm. Alien is supposed to be dark.
Small.
It's dark gothic horror.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
When Ridley Scott does it, it's dark gothic.
And it should be, you know?
Yeah.
Even Aliens are as action oriented as it was. It was still, at the end of the day, something lurking in a corner that you don't see.
It was more atmospheric for
sure. Yeah.
I have to say this. There's a couple of things that I had a problem with story wise. I didn't think the switcheroo between Walter and David really worked because it didn't make much sense. Like, you know, I would assume that the crew would have known about, like, the, you know, the cut under his chin.
You sort of saw it coming, though.
They said the idea that he also heals.
Right, and I just didn't.
So they should have figured it out sooner.
I know.
But you know what? And even the audience knows, if you're a pretty savvy person, which I imagine most people would be,
right,
you already know that a switch took place.
Right.
But I still feel like that's where Ridley Scott still shows strength as a director, because that reveal where he's like, shh,
yeah,
and stuff like that, it still had this reveal creepiness to it.
Can I say,
even though you knew,
yeah,
even though we as the audience probably knew well before she did, it still, in a way, it still kind of worked.
And when it's directed well.
They
set it up with the foreshadowing when David cut his hair to make it look like
the other guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing is that, and for me, Alien Covenant was a.
Oh, we just. By the way, we totally just spoiled the end of the film.
We kind
of
did.
I just realized that.
I mean, they know that there's going to be spoilers, but it's not.
It's just, here's the problem with Alien Covenant. For Alien Covenant, for me, was a test in frustration, the exact opposite of Prometheus, where I wanted to know more about Prometheus, and I wanted to know more about the world that they inhabited. My biggest problem is, and maybe you guys feel the same way, does anybody feel like Ridley Scott is retconning his own movie?
Not at all.
You don't think so?
Not at all.
I have a feeling. I just don't. Okay. Help me.
I think he's retconning Prometheus.
Okay. I agreed. But can. Okay.
Because he's, again, like, he's abandoning what he was trying to set up with that. He's immediately like, let's get rid of the engineers as quickly as possible,
right,
and move into the aliens that people want to see. The problem is, he still has to bring the engineers back into the story,
right,
because, as we know, it's an engineer that brings all those eggs back to LV-426.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like,
And it's David's eggs, which is the other part of the story. So it, he's.
he's painted himself into a corner where however many Aliens movies he's going to do, he now has to figure out how to get all of those things linked together to get into that
right.
movie.
Right, and that is my biggest problem. Is that
I don't know if he's going
to
live long.
How are we going to get from here to LV-426?
Yeah.
That is my biggest issue right now.
I don't know if he's got enough good faith to get it that far.
I don't know either. And I think that for as much as I enjoyed Alien Covenant, by the way, I thought that the lead actress Waterston, Sam Waterston's daughter, I thought she was okay.
You know who I did enjoy in the movie, but he's not really getting any credit? Billy Crudup.
Yeah, he was good.
I thought
but he's good in everything.
He had the unenviable task of being the wet blanket.
He totally was, and
he performed it very well.
You know what? You say that. That's so funny because I was going to say. I was very frustrated with him in the movie. Like, I thought he was kind of a downer, and I just realized when you said that, he is the wet blanket, and he does play it very well.
He does play it very well. Like, the guy that's trying to get everybody on his side, but he has absolutely no skill whatsoever to get everybody on his side.
I think that there was such a better movie underneath everything.
Yeah, I agree.
That we, like, I mean, like, I think that when you think about what happened in that movie, and the way that we're kind of tearing it apart, like, I think people are so disappointed because when they watch it, there was like, oh, man, and then this, they could have done this. There's so much potential with this scene and they just kind of threw it away because they, like, this is just basically, you know, fodder. Like, they threw all that character development under the bus because they just wanted to have more action and have more aliens killing more humans.
It's a good point.
He has to make his characters make stupid decisions just to get them to those points.
Right. Because,
but you get, I understand mistakes, and I understand you got to be human. They're human and they make mistakes. And I think that that's one of the themes that not a lot of people talk about is that.
Is this a case of lazy writing, Todd?
No. Okay, I'm just saying, like, you could have made it more interesting. You could have made the human element more interesting,
right?
Because that's the thing. Like, I think that these movies are trying to get across is that you've got somebody that's very familiar to you. You've got somebody that's very interesting,
or a storyline that you're familiar with.
Yeah, I mean, like with the Ripley character, a lot of people can project themselves onto. That idea of survival and that idea of being human,
right?
And then you see everybody around her making mistakes, and she learns from that mistake,
right? Right.
And so, at the end of this movie, when she finds out that Walter is David, she didn't learn. She was. It seems like she was so busy learning from everybody else's mistake with the how to. Combat the aliens.
Good point.
That she wasn't paying attention to the cyborgs or the robots.
Quite frankly, Ripley would have figured it out.
She would have.
No,
she totally would have.
Absolutely.
She totally would have.
And I think that that's kind of like the for me that switch was kind of the weaker. Even though the Fassbender stuff was interesting and
he was great in it, by the way.
He's really well portrayed. Even in Prometheus, it was great.
I agree.
Which is kind of what you get right away is that Ridley Scott decided to focus on him.
Yes.
Because
he's
the only character that really rings true.
Because the only thing that happened.
So he really fell on Fassbender to carry the next one.
What it feels like is that the only way that we're getting to LV-426 is that we're going to know that David is in one of the.
Well, somebody's speculating that that's actually David,
right?
In the engineer's suit, but if Casey forgot, the engineer's suit is awfully big.
Well, what's interesting? Right, it is number one. It is very big.
And not to mention, the chest burster comes
out of him.
And
right,
he's a synthetic. So
he's
none
a synthetic.
Of that makes sense,
yeah,
but,
and
I don't know.
He wouldn't need. I mean, because he's a synthetic, he wouldn't need a suit.
He wouldn't even need a suit.
Exactly.
So there's that part. Too.
I don't know. So this is a tough call.
I don't know. I'm hoping.
It's frustrating. It's totally frustrating. I totally get it. So,
but again, the quality of the movie's good.
Yeah, no, and you can't
have
that.
It looks great. It's, you know, it's directed well. It's just from a storytelling point of view, I think really Scott's just kind of getting lost because he's not following his. I don't know. To a certain extent, he's not following himself. He's kind of like in this one in particular. He's just like,
I agree.
This is what the kids want. This is what the fans want. I have to find a way to pull this in and dial this up.
What do they say?
It's night and day compared to Prometheus. Right, Prometheus is actually a lot more subtle. It doesn't.
There's chest bursters, but you're not seeing it violently coming out of
people. No, I completely agree.
It's violently coming out of people's mouths and things like that, but you're seeing it in this movie only because there seemed to be a demand for it.
Well, like you said, but you're
that doesn't feel like Ridley to me.
Yeah, you're right on point, though, because what's
not the, in this way.
The old saying goes, you can't serve two masters, and you're right. You got to choose which one you're going to go with, and you're going to go, and that's the direction you go.
I think that, and I think a lot of, but I think at large, a lot of the criticism on this movie is predicated on the fact that, like, what happened with Prometheus and what everybody thinks the direction that they're trying to push us.
Correct.
So I, from that perspective,
right.
This movie actually kind of, I mean, works.
Right.
And I think that it's a really good looking movie. So I can't say, it's, it's not lazy writing. I can't. Like, I can't fault it the
way
that...
I would say that Billy Crudup's character being led down into the cave right up to a facehugger, I would say that that was lazy writing because he just saw David talking to a 9-foot-tall monster that he obviously did not trust him from the start. And he's just like, what are you working on down here? What could he possibly have going
working on down here?
I did feel like that was a little bit of lazy writing. Like, you needed Billy Crudup to go down there, so he followed. I'm like, why is he following him?
Yeah, it does. Well,
he just saw one of the craziest, most weirdest screwed up things, and he's like, I need to follow this guy.
Todd, here's the thing.
I chalked that up to the fact that maybe he's only had newer versions of synthetics. And Dave is like the first generation, and he's more human.
Interesting.
And so at that point, like, you've got that first law of robotics working in the back of these science fiction
stories.
So it's
nothing. It wouldn't have made his, entered his mind.
It doesn't, like, yeah. So he, you know, the synthetic's purpose is to try to create a sort of, maybe the overall success of a mission.
Right, right.
And David's still working on some sort of vague project. Yeah.
I completely respect your opinion on that, but at the same time, if I saw a dude talking to a 9-foot-tall monster that's been eating everybody, and he's just like, no, let me take you down into this basement
I agree with you on that.
Creepy eggs
and
look right into one of them.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I get that was
I don't care who Billy Crudup is. I don't think anybody would in that situation.
Yeah, but I mean, you gotta.
Need him to, though, because if not, the movie pretty much ends right there.
Well, but I mean, the movie would have already ended if they had gotten off the spaceship with spacesuits.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, nobody would have gotten infected. By
the
spores. Is that like there's no? So I mean, I think that either the crew made a lot of mistakes, or it is just like. Oh, man, don't go down there.
Yeah.
Well, listen.
It is the old horror adage of, like, don't go up the stairs.
Yeah.
Look behind you.
Yeah.
Well, that being said, though, Todd, what would you give Alien Covenant? Since, you know, we got a lot of stuff to talk about.
Two and a half stars.
Where would you put it?
I'd give it a 3 just because it's well-directed despite some of the flaws. It looks great.
Mm-hmm.
On a more action level, things is a little bit more satisfying than Prometheus, but that depends on what kind of movie you want out of it.
Right.
If you're wanting something closer to Prometheus, you're going to be disappointed. If you want something more Alien, you're going to be disappointed. It rides the line. Like, it's strange. It rides this weird line. And
Alien Covenant, a movie that's going to disappoint everybody.
I am with Gannon. It is also 3 stars for me.
I think if you enjoy Prometheus, you'll enjoy it.
I think the stuff that
you like out of Prometheus is really good in Covenant.
I agree with you. I wanted to see Prometheus flourish more, the story to flourish. I wanted to see more of that to come to fruition. Unfortunately, that's the way
Danny
we're not
McBride
going.
Really good at it too.
Yeah, Danny McBride is good at it.
He's finally playing a character that's not just a comedy value
an idiot
character.
Yeah, yeah. I will say this, ladies and gentlemen, Professor Barry did his latest review of Alien Covenant.
He 3.5 stars.
He gave it 3.5 stars.
Did he really?
He liked it better than us.
Did he watch the same movie as us?
I don't think he
Alien
did.
Alien Covenant, right?
Yeah.
Not Aliens.
I don't think he did. Anyway, moving on from Alien Covenant, ladies and gentlemen, we're moving on to some more interesting news today, this evening, as I should say. Let's start off with something that is not... first of all, something...
Look at us. We're all prepared. We have a list of things to talk
about
this time.
First of all...
We might actually get through some topics.
Next week, we're going to talk about it once everybody has an opportunity to watch it. The premiere of Twin Peaks on Showtime has already come out.
Biggest news of the last week.
Yep. It's I have not caught up with it yet. Gannon has. But we will be talking about Twin Peaks, the third season, next week right here on the show. So
I have friends that don't want it spoiled, so I don't want to say a word about it.
I hate... when shows are like on Stars, I can't watch American Gods. I haven't been able to watch. I know Twin Peaks, the first whatever that's out now, is free right now on a free trial, but it's like I can't watch the rest of it. Like, when, you know, make this accessible. Like, I'll pay a dollar each viewing or something. I don't know. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Can,
it's true.
You can watch it.
Yeah, Outcast. I haven't seen Outcast.
You know, you can watch it on Amazon for like $1 or $2 per episode.
Oh, but you have to have true. Amazon, though.
Yeah. No, you don't.
No, you don't. No, you don't. You,
I mean, you can
go
to,
on a PC
go,
if you go to Amazon.
You can just
if
rent
you go
it.
To Amazon.com
and watch the episode. Yeah, watch okay. Yeah. Maybe that
so
might be the
you,
way to
if
go.
If you ever get stuck and you want to do it legally.
You can. I think you can also watch.
I don't watch them illegally.
Good for you.
What about, but is American Gods on there too? Because I'm dying to see that.
Yeah. And then if you, I mean, and then if you've got Prime or if you, I think that if you just want to buy it, you can buy a subscription to those shows.
Yeah, you can for like $20 or whatever.
Yeah. Or to the network. And you get everything on Stars or everything.
I mean, they're making a strong case for cord.
Sorry,
they're making a strong case for cord cutting because cable is not offering any of this crap. Is
are
basic.
You, I'm a cord cutter. Are you?
I want to be.
Yeah, I'm a cord cutter. I'm
paying too much for cable. At the store right now.
All right, listen.
That's not true.
We have some interesting news.
We only have 15 minutes. Left.
A lot of people. There's a lot of interesting things going on. We had some people pass away. Let's talk about the big one that's in the room. Zack Snyder has stepped away from Justice League in lieu of the death of his daughter. She was 18.
I think
18 years old. She committed suicide. It's sad, very sad news. Zack
you
Snyder,
know what's really sad is that there's actually a sect of fanboys that are actually like not harassing him, but they're
saying stupid
they're
stuff.
Driving his name in the dirt because they don't like his movies.
Yeah,
and I'm
I know.
Like, this
it's
is
stupid.
Not the time.
It's not. That's stupid.
Back off of him.
Yeah,
really?
Stupid.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
He's really.
I've seen some.
Okay,
of
them. Not only him, Kevin Maguire.
No way.
A writer on Justice League actually made comments about it.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
I was so disappointed. And you know what? You know what else? Kevin Maguire didn't even read the whole story.
Yeah,
he just saw the headline of him stepping down, so he didn't even bother to read the whole story.
Right. I think what's
he didn't do the responsible due diligence of actually reading into the story before
agreed.
He decided to circulate and make himself look like a jerk.
Yeah, and I tell you what, it is sad for Zach. And this happened back in March, by the way.
Yeah, so he's actually been soldiering through it for the last 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah, and
which I gotta give the guy mad respect.
Yeah, for sure, I agree with you 100%. And
I cannot imagine if I lost anybody, if I'd still want to be working.
Yeah,
especially on something like it's a movie. It's not gonna kill you to not do the movie.
Right, exactly.
He was still doing the
movie.
I don't care what anybody says about what he does.
Yeah,
I gotta give the man mad respect.
Very much so. Zack Snyder finally, I guess it has taken a toll on him. He stepped back, and the man who is stepping into his shoes is the one one who is familiar with this kind of work. It's Joss Whedon. He's stepping in to take over for Zach. I'm sure
minor reshoots. I think
minor,
a tiny bit of writing here and there, but other than that, post production.
Yeah, Joss.
So, I don't know. Some people are taking it to mean that Joss Whedon's directing the movie. Now.
No.
But
the
movie's done. Like, it's
in
the can.
Right. I think Joss is
a rough cut.
My big question.
Yeah,
Joss is
going to
do.
Done.
Joss is going to do what any good director who steps into something like that is. He's going to do what Zack Snyder's vision was. Or is.
He's just going to carry it across the finish line.
Right. Exactly. That's all he's going to do. So
it's like a marathon. When somebody's falling behind, you pick him up,
pick
you carry
him
through.
Yeah, yeah. And since we know that Joss is already working alongside DC with the Batgirl movie, so it's...
He's already in the trenches with all of them.
Exactly. Absolutely.
The way that I read it, according to the article that I got, was that Zack Snyder was going to have to do some coverage and some reshoots.
Right.
Which is normal.
Which is normal. And I think it was going to be in England.
Right.
And it was like, I can't leave my kids in L.A.
Right.
To go for 3 months to England this summer. It's too hard of a time.
Too difficult, for sure.
I mean, for God's sake, the man's grieving.
Yeah. Seriously.
Like, the logistics, that's terrible.
Yeah,
but he's also grieving.
I completely agree with you.
I can't believe that people are attacking him online about it, too.
If you don't like the man's movies, fine. But in a situation like this is not...
Yeah.
Just let him go.
Don't attack him now.
Yeah. Don't, you know
why?
There's no point. There's really no point.
Even if it was Michael Bay, man, like, that's not cool.
Yeah.
How can you not... if you don't like the man's movies, that's fine.
That's fine. Or actually, you know what,
you're
though?
Probably still not going to like Justice League regardless, but
maybe
you know what? Don't attack the man now.
Maybe.
But this is the internet. You're going to find every flavor of human reaction. action available.
I agree.
So the most shocking is going to exist no matter what. It's better to not. I know, but it's better to not shine light or credence on it because it's going to exist no matter what.
Maybe we.
That's true. It's shocking, and you want to dredge it up and be like, "Oh my god, I can't believe he said that." I believe it. How about we just not talk about those people?
Maybe what we should do.
How about we just allow them to grieve?
Maybe those ding dongs should just read, instead of reading the headlines.
Those ding dongs exist and will always
exist. Read the stories. You know what I mean? Read the rest of the stories. That's what I say.
You know, I mean, in light of, like, I guess maybe a week or two ago,
yeah.
Ethan Van Scrivener caught a lot of flack online because he told somebody who was depressed to just go kill themselves.
Really?
Oh wow.
And he's the artist. He was the artist for like I think Darkest Night or Brightest Day or something.
He did Green Lantern's Rebirth.
Yeah. And so I mean he's a huge
he's that kind of a big name in the industry to be spouting off like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and he's kind of an unpopular guy anyway, just because of the way that some of the things that he says online to begin with. And to his credit, he came back later after a week of that, and he was just like, "I'm sorry, guys, sorry."
Yeah,
and it seemed like a sincere apology, but I think that like maybe he found out about what happened with Zack Snyder and was like. And maybe, you know, I think that like if somebody I worked with or somebody that was, you know, close enough to the company like that.
Sure.
You know.
What I think is saying is true.
I agree.
There's going to be jerks that regardless. Whether
all stripes.
Everybody knows that if they're saying something online, they're going to know that
I mean, that Kevin Maguire thing is uncool, of course. I'm just saying.
What I'm saying is if you're operating on a professional level whatsoever, if you're in the industry, even if you're just an internet columnist or whatever, you got to keep it objective. Mm-hmm. You can't pull your own opinion into it. It's not right.
I think it's okay to criticize Zach.
Because for Kevin Maguire, of all people.
Yeah.
He apologized, but his apology is basically, I didn't read the whole story, which makes him even more irresponsible.
Yeah.
That he jumped on top of that bandwagon to pile onto this guy, didn't even know the whole story.
Yeah.
This man who has a Twitter account and tons of followers should have a little bit more responsibility.
Yeah, I think if Zack Snyder had left because of the pressures of doing Justice League, then we could
have
mocked
him.
Some
people were saying.
Right. But now we know the circumstances behind it, so now we get it. But that's fine.
But again, mad respect to the man for trying to work through it.
To soldier through it, for sure.
Because he did say, like, I tried to just try to bury myself in the work to see if that would help.
And
it didn't.
Yeah.
So mad respect to the man. And to not only that, but to air it out in public.
Yeah.
His wife is producing the movie, too.
Yeah, she is.
So she's off the project, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So big shout-out, Zach, if you're watching and or listening or ever get a chance
Much
to
love,
listen.
Dude.
Much love, my friend.
Much love.
We support you. We keep you in our thoughts for sure.
We're going to go to Justice League anyway.
No,
but
we're going to Justice League.
We're going to be thinking about that.
I'm buying an extra ticket.
Yes. Yeah. speaking of those that have left us too soon... The second greatest James Bond has passed away at the tender age of 89. Roger Moore is no longer with us.
The longest running Bond in history.
Yep.
Hey, excuse me.
Yes.
Sir Roger Moore.
Sir Roger Moore. I am so sorry.
He was knighted for his humanitarian.
Absolutely.
To date, the only guy that's been Bond more than anyone else.
That's correct, sir. Sir Roger Moore, my second favorite. I know a lot of people in my generation consider him the first favorite.
It depends on how old you are, I noticed.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting because he was my favorite,
but his movies were prevalent in the 80s.
Your first is Timothy Dalton?
George
Lazenby.
Yeah, no, my first, because of my father. Once again, my father, the reason I am the nerd that I am today is because of my dad.
Timothy Dalton.
Was Sean Connery. So I have an affinity for Sean. My second favorite is...
Oh, the Scottish guy.
Yeah, the Scottish guy. The guy from Wales. Yeah, don't start that.
He's not
jerk.
From Wales.
He is from Wales.
He was born... I looked
he was
it
born
up.
In Wales, this, but he's from Scotland.
This
anyway.
All, I listened to last week's podcast. This part sucked back then.
Okay, first of all, you get the story wrong. He was raised by whales in Scotland.
Okay, got it. I will say this. Roger Moore was not my second favorite. Sean Connery is my second favorite. I have a very unconventional second favorite Bond, and Timothy Dalton is my second favorite Bond. Don't throw my mic around. What the hell?
You were joking, but that's what happened.
That's exactly what it is. My second favorite Bond is Timothy Dalton
I'm
and
so
then
sorry
Roger
for
Moore.
You again. Who's your second favorite?
So where
favorite?
Does Pierce Brosnan end up on that spectrum?
Pierce Brosnan is dead last.
Are you kidding me?
I do not like Pierce Brosnan as Bond.
Wow.
Never did. He's dead.
I'm not going to get into rating Bonds because that's not what it's about.
It's not.
We're talking about Roger Moore.
We're all going to say this.
So
Roger
I mean,
Moore is an amazing.
But you know the rating of Bonds is going to happen when he dies.
He actually had.
It's a kind of a silly thing to say that your second favorite Bond passed away, so you're not going to be as sad as when Sean Connery goes. Like that's like.
Listen, that's not what I said. I'm
but
just
that's
saying.
Sort of how.
Well,
it,
Sean Connery
how
is my favorite Forrester. Dog.
Yeah.
Anyway, what was that, Gannon?
And I'm paraphrasing like crazy because I can't remember the exact quote, but he was basically saying, to live the rest of your life being known as Bond can't be a bad thing. Something along those lines. I can't remember exactly what the line was, but something along those lines.
Yeah.
That if that's all he's known for the rest of his life, there's nothing wrong with that. He was totally happy with it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, other than that, what was the only other thing he was big for? It was the Saint, right?
The Saint. He was the first. A matter of fact, they wanted to tap Roger Moore for On Her Majesty's Secret Service, but he was contracted with the Saint. So they couldn't find him, and that's when they got George Lazenby. And then, of course, as we all know, Sean Connery came back for Diamonds Are Forever, and then they finally got Roger Moore for Live and Let Die. Oh, no, excuse me. Yeah, Live and Let... Yeah, I think so, if I got that.
What was the Connery movie from 84?
Which one? That's Never Say Never Again. That was because... That was done by Warner Brothers,
not
MGM.
That's not official,
technically,
at one point, wasn't considered official.
Technically, it is officially canon because it was a sue job from the writer's standpoint because they said that the writers of Never Say Never Again said that their story was the story of Thunderball, which was stolen by MGM, apparently.
Oh,
so it was a writer's thing.
So it's a little complicated.
So it's a little complicated.
It is in all the box sets.
Yeah, it is. Never Say Never Again, I think, is great. So, regardless. But I will say this. Roger Moore is responsible for some of the greatest
A View to a Kill is one of my favorite Bond movies still.
A View to a Kill is great. My favorite Roger Moore Bond film is The Spy Who Loved Me. I love that movie. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, but I can't stand that song in that movie.
Oh, stop it. That's Carly Simon. Are you nuts?
It's Carly Simon, and there's nothing wrong with it, but I heard it so much as a kid that when I hear it, I just...
Quiet.
I'm going to throw my mic at your head.
I love that song. Anyway,
would.
It's a great song.
So you hear it like every day
so,
almost.
So that was a great one. Octopussy is another great movie.
Can you say Octopussy on the pod?
I have said it already. You said it again. So that's another
Octopussy.
Great one.
I'd like to make calamari out of that Octopussy.
And last but not least, Roger Moore. Roger Moore has another great Bond film, and that will always be For Your Eyes Only. That was another great one. So.
This picture of this octopussy is for
your eyes. For your
eyes.
You guys are idiots.
Why isn't you guys? He said it. I just laughed.
Spy sexting.
So, Roger Moore, sir, you shall be missed. You are...
Lazenby's dead, too, right?
Lazenby, I believe, is still alive.
So as of right now, we've lost a Bond already.
Yeah, so we have Roger Moore, you will be part of our childhoods.
Sean
forever.
Connery, hold together for us.
Yeah, hold it together for us, pal. Matter of fact,
I know you retire, but hold it together.
All I know is that before Connery goes, I don't want him to play Bond. What I want him to do,
The Rock 2.
No,
Zardoz 2.
Stop it,
Zardoz 2. Costume.
He needs
to be in another Indiana Jones movie.
Connery is
Cannon
the
ball run, Jimmy J. Sankey.
Connery is the
Wait,
ultimate
Zardoz?
Bond, and before
two.
Connery passes
oh
away,
goodness, yes.
Connery should play the ultimate Bond villain. That's my dream.
No.
Yeah.
No, he shouldn't.
No.
That's
like
way
that.
Too...
But then they go with that lame-ass Bond trope that Bond is a title, and then he is the original. He's in the chair. He's like, well, Moneypenny.
Did you hear that...
He's like Dr. Claw in Inspector Gadget.
There was something...
He's got the cat in his hand.
They said that there was something that Skyfall is that. Like... Isn't that the thing where they said that Daniel Craig is technically the son of Sean Connery because Skyfall is in Scotland and it's technically a title?
I never heard that. That might be fanboy speculation.
That's crazy.
At best.
That's crazy. Anyway,
also, Max Landis actually had the best idea to tie it all together.
Oh, I read about
where there
that.
Was like an attack on MI6.
Right.
And then as Daniel Craig's trying to figure
out. Yeah, that's
out,
what we're.
He catches up to him and it turns out to be the pass bombs.
That's what I was saying is that fan thing.
Yeah. Which is interesting, but it wouldn't be a good movie.
Yes, it would. I would love that movie.
Well, like I
you
said.
You had grown.
What's your comment?
I was going to say that Brian Revel says, what's up? Brian Revel of Enjoy Comics.
If you got
time.
What's up?
Check out one of their 100,000 Kickstarters going on for the. Those guys are. get crazy prolific with the local comics.
Enjoy comics, Big Island, brah. Anyway, moving on.
That was awful. Sorry. Anyway.
Don't ever do that.
Roger Moore, sir, you shall be missed. Also, someone that has actually, someone who also passed away this week. You only know her because of her work in a great film called Clerks. Lisa Spoonhauer passed away. Not sure what she passed away from.
I don't know if they've released that information, but she passed away on Saturday.
Lisa Spoonhauer is from Clerks. She was very funny in it, by the way.
Did she have sex with a dead guy? Yeah.
She was the one, actually. Yeah.
She is Kaylin the one. Caitlin Bree. Matter of fact, Kevin Smith was reminiscing about meeting her and where they found her. And
he told a story about how he pitched it to her.
In a parking lot.
You want to be in a movie? She's like, as long as it's not porn.
So
apparently she read it. She's like, it reads. Everybody talks like it's a porn, but it's funny.
But it's not. Yeah, it's really cool. So Lisa, you shall.
She was only 44.
She was crazy. So if you ever want to watch, if you want to watch a great flick with Lisa Spoonhauer in it, check out Clerks. And last,
to be fair, I think it's the only one.
It's the only one. Last but not least, someone who has nothing to do with nerd culture per se, but still passed away. Is Chris Cornell from Soundgarden. That was really...
He did a Bond film.
He did the song. He did,
so that
does
kind of count.
He did Day... Not Die Another Day.
He did the one for... Not Quantum of Solace. What was the other Bond?
No, it was Quantum of Solace.
Was it
Quantum of Solace. You're right. It's Quantum of Solace. So Chris Cornell passed away. He also... they're saying that it was an apparent suicide for him as well.
Well, there's a lot of talk about whatever prescription drugs. I can't remember the name of it, but he was on some kind of prescription drugs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He just finished a Soundgarden. Yes, Ativan, I think. Mm-hmm. And he just finished a Soundgarden show that same night.
That's insane.
Yeah. There's actually a recording of that show online somewhere.
Hey,
I'm sure on YouTube.
Listen, Facebook Live, I hope you guys don't mind. We're going to go a little long, if that's okay. Swan, I hope that's okay.
We should take a break.
I want to power through.
The ladies don't mind when we go long.
Okay, good. Well, I want to power through a couple more of these stories before we get out of here.
What's our time at right now?
We're at 56 right now.
Holy crap. Okay, I have some edits to make after this.
56.
Thanks a lot,
Jim. Right now, sorry. We're gonna power through some stuff here really quick. First off, let's talk about this. It looks like Universal has made it official.
It was always official. I think they only released a photo and announced their plans for the next two.
Gannon, I know that you weren't really looking forward to this.
Universal has announced the Dark Universe, which is the monster.
It doesn't look that great, and it doesn't sound that great either.
Well, here's the thing. They've already gotten Johnny Depp on board to be the Invisible Man. Javier Bardem is going to be Frankenstein.
Did they get Jason Momoa to be the creature from the Black Lagoon?
No.
When I first saw the commercial for Mummy, I was like, wow, this looks great. Mm-hmm. And now that I've been waiting for it, and then I've watched the commercial a couple more times, I'm just like, I don't even care about this movie.
Dr. Jekyll, Russell Crowe, also was not exciting to me.
That also was like, I'm starting to groan at this stuff.
I'm telling you, Tom Cruise is going to be. He's
Johnny
gonna be
Depp is the Invisible Man.
Yep. Javier Bardem is the Frankenstein, and then
wait, who knows? This mummy might bring back Brendan Fraser.
Tom Cruise.
That's the only way.
They keep saying that he's Brendan Fraser.
And then Pauly Shore comes back.
I think Tom Cruise is going to be the descendant of Dracula.
I heard that already.
So I think that should be.
That's also not interesting to me.
I don't know. I like it. Universal needs to get into the game somehow.
I feel like if you're going to do this Universal Monster crossover, if you're not doing it better than Monster Squad, why bother?
Whoa, that's a good point. Monster Squad
is
classic.
Quite frankly, Monster Squad is a high bar to reach if you're going to cross over all these characters.
I agree with Gannon on this.
Because that was that movie actually balanced them all. It actually had a good reason that they were all together in one film.
It prioritized them
to
very well.
Giant mega blockbuster horror films in general don't usually work.
Right.
And shared universe with dark tones doesn't necessarily do well lately.
Shared universe is fine. I think you can pull off.
There's too much shared universe.
But big mega budget blockbuster type of films, for a horror film, they almost never work. Nothing can be World War Z. Even World War Z wasn't that great.
I tell you what, though, I am a huge fan of the old universe. Some monster
David
movies.
Fincher's got it.
Yeah,
that's the only reason I want to see that stupid movie. I don't want to see World War Z 2, but David Fincher doing it's
yeah, it's true. It's a good point.
Damn it.
But I tell you what, Universal Monster movies are beloved worldwide. They're the reason that they are timeless is because of the stories and how well they are.
The trailer announced before it was just nothing but clips from the old films.
It was fantastic. Exactly. Fantastic.
Which just makes you reminisce about those films.
I love those movies.
Which one was your favorite?
My favorite monster movie?
Yeah.
Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Mine's just Creature from the Black Lagoon.
I have to tell you something. I am a huge fan of Creature from the Black Lagoon. There is no doubt about that.
So well.
It was so fun. It was so scary when I was younger. It was great. My other favorite one, I have to tell you, is The Wolfman. I think that's great. And I also think that Bride of Frankenstein is fantastic because everybody should go back and watch The Bride of Frankenstein. It is the freakiest and weirdest movie, the Frankenstein movie you will ever see because it almost has nothing to do with Frankenstein. Awesome.
This whole Dark Universe thing. Is I Frankenstein a part of that or no?
No.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
Right now, as of right now, the only movie that's officially canon is Tom Cruise's The Mummy. Anything else after that is different.
And by the way,
so basically, The Mummy is Iron Man.
The next.
It really is. Like, it's the start of all this. It's
true. The next movie on the docket for the Dark Universe is The Bride of Frankenstein, ironically enough.
Originally, Dracula Untold was supposed to be the first film, I think was their intention, but then that movie tanked, so they're just like, you know what, never mind.
By the way, if that is true, Gannon, I have to tell you, if you have not seen Dracula Untold, do not miss out on that movie. It is very good. I liked it.
It didn't do very well. I've never heard anybody say
it. You've never seen it?
No.
I want to do yourself a favor. Sit down. It's an hour and a half. It is better than you would ever expect it
better
to be.
Better than Bram Stoker's Dracula.
I'm going to tell you something. The different tone.
No, it doesn't get
totally
that
different
far,
tone.
But it's actually worth watching.
Dracula is good. That Dracula Untold is good.
Never would have thought.
Yep. Go watch
honestly,
it.
It's worth watching. It's
dude, I had
thing.
To. I was just like you. I had to be forced to watch it. So I was shocked. Utterly shocked.
The last Dracula film I ever saw that I even remotely liked was Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Bram Stoker's, of course.
I saw Dracula, what was it, 2000? Back in the 90s? I watched it for about a half an hour and gave up on
it. You forgot to mention. It's
I won't
not
count
called,
Blade Trinity because that Dracula sucks.
It's not Dracula 2000. I'm sorry. It's Wes Craven Presents Dracula 2000. Remember?
Well, that's the only way you're going to sell that movie.
That's right. By the way, Blade Trinity, underrated Blade movie. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, my.
What?
Anyway.
Whoa. You're only saying that because Triple H is in
no,
there.
No.
That sucks.
It is, for all intents and purposes.
Isn't that the first appearance of Deadpool?
It is the first appearance of Deadpool. That is very true.
Ryan Reynolds was
very
in
true.
There.
It's very. I think Blade Trinity is underrated.
It's terrible.
It is not your typical Blade movie.
Blade 2 is
it's
the
not
best
dark.
Of all
dude, it is the most phoned in Wesley Snipes performance in all of them.
I'm not. I agree.
Because he already knew
he's
he was going
worst
to jail.
Thing in it.
Any
I agree.
Performance where you can wear sunglasses is like that's phoned in anyway. So
I know I agree with you. What I'm saying is though, Jessica Biel, Ryan Reynolds were very good, and Dominic Purcell, who is not the greatest actor of all time, was good as
no,
Dracula.
No, he was not.
Not good. I
he's a great
heat
wave though.
He's decent.
Yeah, he is.
As Dracula. I really enjoyed Blade Trinity for what it was, and because it was very different, so I liked it. Anyway,
like different, you mean crappy? Yeah. Cool.
Hey, it's underrated.
Well, Blade 2 is the best of all of them. You know it.
Well, I don't know.
So Blade we got
anyway,
Dark Crystal.
Speaking of dark universes, Netflix announced out of freaking nowhere that Netflix is doing a Dark Crystal prequel.
Okay. With Jim Henson's company.
With Jim Henson's
now
company.
It's puppets now, not CGI.
It is insane.
If Jim Henson's involved. There ain't no CGI. Jim Henson does not do CGI.
Yeah. It's quite amazing.
There might
to me.
Be CGI augmented.
Well, now
sequences.
That's not as true anymore that Jim Henson's not around. Now that it's the company in name only as Jim Henson, it's more about the licensed properties than it is about the puppeteer.
They did that Turtles movie, and it was all CG.
I tell you what.
The Turtles movie that they were involved with was actually the greatest Turtles movie of all time.
I can't even.
But he's also confusing the audiences, so don't do that.
I can't even describe to you how crazy and how cool it is that Netflix would even attempt to do a Dark Crystal series. I think it's very cool.
I'm interested in looking forward to it.
They did Stranger Things. They care about
The Dark Crystal, but I mean, out of
our demographic,
Dark
wants.
Crystal is so, and I hate to say this because it's not true, but essentially, as 2017, the Dark Crystal is so obscure at this point.
Not really,
in my opinion.
It's on the back of your tongue right after Labyrinth when you're talking about Jim Henson feature length films.
Right, but wouldn't you think that that would come the series first? If anything,
they're going to do a sequel to it.
But what's confusing about the Dark? I'm sure there's a story to be told there. Dark Crystal, is it a series or what? Yeah. But it's how the Skeksis and the Mystics become separate beings?
Right. Right.
Is it? Apparently, I mean, I'm just asking.
It's a prequel series about the Skeksis.
Skeksis. And to this day, I don't care who you are, the Skeksis are frightening. And
they were very freaky.
In Dark Crystal, they were terrifying, yes.
Yeah. But so were the Gelflings.
But at the end, yeah, they're just
They just look like Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen.
But made of felt.
Yeah.
But once you get to the end of Dark Crystal, the Skeks, you can't rewatch them and have the Skeksis be as terrifying anymore once you get to the end of the movie.
And I think maybe that's why they're going the prequel route instead of the sequel route, because that does make sense. At the end of Dark Crystal, there's no way that you would look at the Skeksis the same.
Yeah.
So if you build them up as these dark creatures, then yeah, it works.
Do you think that if you say Skeks like 3 times in a row, people think it's a dirty word?
Skeksis? Stop it. Well, I
like Skeksis.
Anyway, all I
like,
know is
no,
this.
Like Skeks, Skeks, Skeks.
All I know is
I'm
this.
I'm just, you know, I mean, it's a prequel series, so there's that thing. I was like, oh, Prometheus again.
Yeah.
We have to explain our villain to you, and now it's not as scary anymore, and then there's going to be another sequel series to try and go back to the basics. And
that is what was most terrifying, is you didn't know anything about them as you were learning about them in the movie.
I would rather them do a sequel series, you know, like pick up however many years later it is and stuff
Add
like that.
Add some new dark magic somewhere.
All I know is this. Netflix.
Prequel series are a mixed bag, man. I haven't seen anybody pull it off well yet.
Netflix is legitimately becoming their own network, and they're coming out.
They're doing better than Hollywood right now.
Yep.
They just got banned at the Cannes Film Festival.
Well, they got booed at the Cannes Film Festival.
Will Smith defended them of all people.
And let me tell you why.
No, but they actually got banned.
Because they hired his son.
Like, they're not going to be under consideration for
any
of their
films. Right, because what happened was that they were doing the premiere for Okja, the new film by Park, the guy who did Old Boy.
Yeah.
And it's a series that's coming with Jake Gyllenhaal and such. They got booed by a bunch of snooty French critics because they didn't...
all critics are snooty French critics.
So are we.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. But no, but these guys, because they were...
Chocolat bleu.
Essentially, they were pissed off that Netflix didn't... It wasn't the time-honored code of premiering the film in cinemas. Netflix was being a disruptive business to cinemas and doing it online.
Well, they probably feel like Netflix is driving Hollywood out of business.
Good. Good.
And
Hollywood is driving Hollywood out of
That's
business.
Exactly
I agree
my point.
With you on there.
If you're finding better programming or better films that are being released exclusively on Netflix, I mean, like I was saying, I watched 13 Reasons Why.
Yeah.
I had more of a reaction out of that than I've seen in almost any Hollywood film.
And let me tell you something. You know why
it's more daring and is actually trying to tell you something interesting.
Can I tell you why the majority of stuff on Netflix works? You know why? Because all Netflix does is go, here's a bunch of creative people that want to put something together. We're not going to stand in your way to make what your vision is. So they are making even the crappy Adam Sandler stuff. They are not standing in the way. They know what people like. They are letting the directors and the writers be
creative. And
they're
paying these people.
They're paying them.
Well.
Well.
Oh, yeah,
and they are letting
Dave
them
Chappelle
be creative.
Got paid, what, $50 million for two specials?
It's insane.
That's ridiculous.
It's insane. They're letting people be creative.
Skeks.
And this is what is happening. Netflix is becoming its own network. And for what, I tell you what, they're doing a great job. Keep it up, guys. Netflix, June is going to be really good. There's a whole bunch of new premieres in June as well. So we'll talk about that later.
Headshot's going to be on Netflix.
Yeah.
The new,
Aiko
Uwe movie.
Yeah.
From The Raid.
Yep.
I've been dying to see that.
Yeah, I love The Raid. Great movie. And The Raid 2 is actually good, too. Anyway.
We're not getting a Raid 3.
I know. It's kind of a bummer.
Gareth Evans came out and said, is it Evans or Edwards?
It's Gareth Evans.
It's Evans. He said he doesn't feel like there needs to be a third one. I'm like, what?
His own Die Hard trilogy.
Oh, man. There needs to be
a third one. Damn you, Gareth.
It sets up a third one.
I know. Jerk.
Is he the guy that's doing the third Star Wars?
No.
That's Now you got me
Colin Trevorrow.
Colin Trevorrow's
doing
this. I think you're doing the guy who directed Rogue One. That was
Gareth Edwards.
Gareth Edwards.
I always get those two mixed up.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, that's it.
Because they're both British.
Yeah, they are.
And oh, wait, no, Edwards isn't
no,
British.
No, no, Gareth.
They're both named Gareth.
Gareth Edwards isn't English.
See, we're already mixing them up in the middle of the conversation.
Go by Gary, one of you. Jeez.
All right, listen.
All right.
Last but not by the way, something I didn't mention, speaking of online and streaming, we were talking about Bond earlier. They have Hulu has the latest Bond documentary. I'm sorry, I should have mentioned it while we were talking about Roger Moore, but Becoming Bond is a new documentary about George Lazenby's experience as Bond. So you may want to watch it if you're interested. It looks really good.
It's nice for the guy to finally get some due diligence.
I agree.
All these documentaries just really focus on like the marquee guys that everybody really likes.
Yep.
He only ever had one, so he doesn't have the fanfare that the other two guys got.
And I thought he was good.
It's kind of cool that he's finally getting his spotlight.
He's the only guy that went heads up with Telly Savalas.
Yeah.
So, who loves you, baby? Anyway, moving on. Want to let you guys know that Sony is hitting back hard with more Spider-Man universe stuff. That's right.
And
Sony,
it's not connected to Spider-Man in the Marvel
films.
That's
right. Yeah.
I swear, like, Sony, like, they learn their lesson. They take their lickings. And they're like, all right, Marvel, come help us out.
Yeah.
They're like, now let's do all the stuff we're thinking about doing anyway.
This is going to be the Catwoman of Spider-Man movies.
Well, let me tell you something. They convinced a very heavy hitter in the acting business. Tom Hardy, ladies and gentlemen, if you have not heard, is Venom. And it has not.
I'm just wondering how they're going to reconcile that story. It's a Venom in the Spider-Man universe, but there's no Spider-Man.
Right. Don't know.
Or if there is a Spider-Man, it's not Tom Holland.
If I was Sony and if I was going to do the smart thing, no, I would bring in Miles Morales.
That would actually be
the smartest way to do it.
I think that if they had Miles Morales, Ultimate Spider-Man, and they're fighting Venom, I think that would be like
shaking his head. What is a G?
I have no idea. I think that Spider-Man is not going to be in the equation. You know who I think is going to?
But then how do you bypass Spider-Man? Spider-Man is a very big part of Venom's origin.
Yeah, that's the way Venom gets the Spider attribute.
How much you want to bet?
Why does the Venom symbiote make himself look like Spider-Man's suit?
How much you want to bet that we are going to get a Venom versus Carnage thing a Spider-Man thing? How much?
But again, you have to reconcile how he gets to that point without Spider-Man in the equation.
You know that they're going to retcon everything about Venom because this has nothing to do with Marvel. It has nothing to do with the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
They're not going to write out Spider-Man. There's a spider on his chest. That's what Gannon was saying.
I just want to know how they're going to reconcile
the Spider-Man character in this
the
movie.
The fact that you're justifying this coming from the man who's pissed that Fox doesn't...
smart enough because they've shown they're smart enough, like you said, to join forces with Marvel. They're being a little full of themselves with people still want the Venom movie regardless, so of course that's the first one.
Because it works so well in the third Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, Topher Grace was terrible.
I think that Topher Grace would have been better if they didn't have Sandman in that movie.
I think Eddie Brock needs to be physically larger than
Eddie Brock
than
is pretty big, brooding.
Tom Hardy's 5'10".
But he's a wider frame. I believe him as a brute more than Topher Grace as a skinny little
It's just the way you should.
If you don't believe that, Todd, watch Bronson with Tom Hardy. It's amazing.
I don't know. If you can make Michael Keaton Batman, it's all about execution.
Yeah.
It's all about execution.
Yeah.
Topher Grace's Venom did not work out the way they did it.
So we could have...
But,
okay,
you know, if that's not to say somebody with a skillful eye couldn't find a way to make it happen.
All right, so if you're...
I don't think him as an actor could handle Eddie Brock.
Based on what I saw, no, but...
So with your guys' theory...
Grace anyway.
If your guys' theory holds with this Venom thing...
It's not a theory. Spider-Man's going
to
be in it.
No. It's not going to be Tom Holland. Okay.
What?
No.
That's why we were trying to say.
They'll cast somebody as Miles Morales. Maybe we'll get a Ben Reilly.
Maybe do the clone series.
Yeah. Maybe
there's the Ben Reilly Spider-Man.
Right.
And you just get a guy that kind of looks like Tom Holland.
But the fact that they'll get
Andrew Garfield.
The fact that they would specifically
they bring Tobey Maguire back.
The fact that they would notate and specifically say this is not connected to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
It's a bad mistake.
Right,
they really shouldn't do it.
So,
but I think they might have to be contractually obligated to do that because doing anything on their end of the spectrum Marvel has to kind of shoulder some of the responsibility of like, all right, now we have to factor in these characters in our films at some point. You know what I mean?
I think that could have something to do with it. And then like they might lose the option if they don't do a Spider film.
I got it. I have it. Progressive Hollywood. What's the one thing we could do with Venom and have it connected to the Spider-Man that we know? And it's not Spider-Man at all. Spider-Gwen.
Ugh.
Shut up.
Get out.
Yeah, shut the hell up.
Just get out.
Shut the hell up.
Progressive Hollywood.
Okay, although if they did want to sell tickets, that would blow it out of the water. Yeah,
that would be something Sony should do.
Though.
No, but I mean, to be completely honest with you, though, after Wonder Woman comes out,
I got a funny feeling
it's going to do well, every studio is going to be like, all right, we need to get our female characters out there.
Yeah, I'm telling you. It's going
to
happen.
Sony only has access to Spider-Gwen. So
Thor is abroad now.
Thor is abroad. We know
He's off in England and stuff. That's what you meant, right?
Courtesy of James Silvani. Yeah, yeah. But I'm telling you right now, if Wonder Woman goes the way it's supposed to, it's Spider-Gwen is a real
possibility. Reviews are overwhelmingly good so far.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't really go into details, but I have yet to see somebody saying, oh, yeah, it's ugh.
By the way, the Nerd Watch will not be doing the premiere for Wonder Woman, unfortunately. We couldn't come to terms.
We'll be there.
That's sexist.
We couldn't come to terms with Consolidate on that.
Oh, wow. He's just going to air it out on record,
All I'm going to say is this. If you guys want to voice your opinions and let them know.
The Consolidated thing was like a Sony Marvel type of setup.
No. All I'm saying is that if you guys want us to do those things, you know, let them know about it. We'd love to do them at Consolidated for you guys. It's exclusively right now at Maui Megaplex. So for those of you that live on Maui and want us to do some stuff at the Consolidated Theaters, we'd love to do it. We like the guys at Consolidated. We love them. And, you know, we'd just love to be able to work it out in the near future.
With that said, we'll still be there.
Yeah, we'll still be there, though, for sure. So Tom Hardy as Venom is going to be a thing.
Boo.
Yeah.
I like that thought.
Last but not least, we're going to move on to videos and games. Videos and games.
Okay.
Because this week we got a big DVD Blu-ray release, and Gannon, rightly enough, purchased it. And what a window! This had the smallest release window I've ever heard of. Logan is currently now on Blu-ray. It came out March 10th. It is only May 22nd as of today. 22nd, right? Yeah,
23rd,
sir.
May 23rd. That is a little more than two. That's a little less than 3 months. So it's got a very small window. Logan is out on Blu-ray and DVD today.
Which, if you pick it up at Target, it's the book edition, which has got some lovely photographs in a beautiful black and white. Which means that the noir edition is in this.
The noir edition is in there. And
I haven't watched it yet, but based on the photos in the book, it looks gorgeous in black and white.
So if you don't know what noir means, it means black and white.
That's not what it means.
I think it just means black.
Barry Worst is rolling over in his grave right now.
Yeah, he is.
What's strange about this is that it says Logan Noir, but there's a trademark next to Noir because apparently you could trademark just the word Noir, but not Logan. They did not trademark Logan. It's very interesting.
That's weird.
There's an airport called
Logan. So pick it up. Logan, the greatest, probably the greatest X-Men movie to date. Without a doubt.
Oh, hell no.
Deadpool.
Hey.
Or just do what G does. Steal digital downloads.
Logan is a great movie, and I consider it probably one of the greatest X-Men movies to date.
Great.
Once the clone kicks in, I'm not a huge fan. Hey, what are you doing?
Yeah. Watch the comments. Anyway.
Sorry.
Logan, currently on Blu-ray and DVD as we speak. Also, today... You got your copy. You can pick it up right there. Gannon did. Get Out.
No. Keep watching. It's the movie. Get Out.
Jordan Peele's directorial debut. A shockingly good directorial debut.
You say shockingly like you expected it to be bad.
I expected Get Out to be a mediocre horror film, and I was completely floored by what it was. So Get Out, if you have not seen it, I had a lot of prejudgments about it.
According to this, I took the cigar off. The best reviewed movie of 2017, but it didn't say so far because it's only May.
It's only May.
But, Yeah. It has one of those certified fresh from Rotten Tomatoes sticker on it.
Yeah,
that tells you right away that a lot of snobs loved it.
If you have not seen Get Out, it's better than anyone had expected. And
a lot of those French movie
And
critics.
Because of that, Jordan Peele has got some more direct
They actually just announced
stuff.
His follow-up, but I didn't read the... I didn't read
Did you know that Jordan Peele... Jordan Peele was tapped, and he had to turn it down. He was tapped to do the live-action Akira movie.
Yeah. Oh, no way.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
He actually made a statement about that, where the reason why he turned it down is that he's in a position now where he can create original content, so he'd rather focus on that, which, I mean, hell, you don't see anybody else saying that.
Do you
that.
Know who's doing the Akira thing, then?
Don't know as of yet. The only reason why...
The guy made Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, shut up. It's, whatever. Man,
well, Scarlett Johansson.
I almost had
Akira
a...
Akira starting Jonah Hill.
I had
yeah,
a,
but you liked Ghost in the Shell,
whoa,
Gene.
Whoa. I almost had a physical
you
reaction.
You Ghost in the Shell apologist?
Oh, gosh. I know. You read my,
you
read my review,
well.
Didn't yeah,
you reviewed it well.
I didn't review it well.
Back, no.
What I said was is that there were a lot of good ideas in the film in Ghost in the Shell.
I love manja manja.
No. I gave it 2.5 stars. I didn't think it was that great, but what I will say is the fact that it droned on too long. Yeah. But there is a potential for that film, as when it hits video, to be a cult classic. I believe it.
I still want to see it. I'm interested in seeing it. I don't believe it's a bad movie. I just didn't want to support
it's
it with
not,
my money.
The problem is it's not bad. It's just okay. That's the problem with the film. It's
regardless of anything, yeah.
Yeah, it's just okay, and that's the biggest problem with
I
the
didn't
film.
Feel... I mean, usually if I like a film, it means I want to see it again later.
Right, absolutely.
But I don't even think if it was on cable, I'd sit through it again.
Absolutely.
It's not bad for the first viewing, but I don't think I'd watch it again.
Yeah, I'm a complete and utter agreement with you.
It's weird because it wasn't forgettable. I still can remember a lot of the visuals.
Yes,
it
looked fantastic.
Just sitting through it again, I'm not really motivated to.
Freaking Rupert Sanders, that jerk. Anyway,
I wouldn't blame him.
Well.
It's not something he created from the ground up.
Right. It's all the whitewashing. Anyway, moving on.
Let's bring that up again.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead, Gene. I'm not
going to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it.
Last but not least, on the video releases, exclusively to digital, you guys can pick up the Lego Batman movie right now. That is currently available to those that enjoyed that movie. By the way, I watched it again, and it's not good. I don't care. It's just
see,
not.
And when the first time I see a movie, I'm under the spell, usually, so there's a lot of that going for it. And I didn't even like it then, which is hard to do for a first time for me seeing a comic movie.
It's not good.
And so I'm afraid to watch it a second time because I'm afraid I won't even like it the second
Being
time.
Being the Batman Zach fan.
And my son had a coherent criticism of it, which is like the first cue. And I'm like, a 7-year-old can see what's wrong with this movie.
Being the Batman fan that I am, I know I'm going to buy it anyway, but... Thinking about it since I've seen it, I'm just like, it just mocks the character and the world and all that stuff. Yeah. I think that's where I had a problem with
I didn't
it.
Have...
It's not having
the way
fun
they played
with the character.
The way they played the Joker
it.
Was very mocking.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, I didn't like the Joker.
Like, why is Joker and Batman friends?
I hated that.
The Scream or the Scary Movie
Tell
version
me you
of
hate
Batman.
Me. What my,
Tell me you hate
lots
me.
Of bad jokes.
My biggest problem with the Lego Batman movie was, or not even a problem, but my favorite thing about it was Will Arnett, who I thought was very funny in the film. What I didn't like was is that we didn't have to force this thing down everyone's throat about the whole family issue. I didn't understand. I know it's a family movie. I get that. It would be more about thwarting.
Well, see, that's like a normal movie threat. That's not the problem
it's
I had with it.
It's in almost every kids movie ever.
No. You're misunderstanding
like,
me. I don't mind that.
It's in the Minions movie, for
no,
God's sake.
No, I don't mind that at all. What I'm saying is that there was no need to do that because the relationship between Batman and Robin would have been the one that should have been... the one to focus on, but it just seemed like they were forcing it more than anything else, bringing in Barbara and bringing
Batman
in Alfred and how Batman needs a family. And right, I just thought that was cheap.
You need something, you need like that kind of crap to congeal. You know, you have like 30 different characters of every type.
Yeah, I guess.
You know what else sucked about that movie?
Everything.
Batgirl being his love interest in yet another animated Batman film.
Oh, that was gross.
Right, and
yeah.
By the way, speaking of that, the other thing that was
granted,
irritating,
it doesn't get to ridiculous lengths like Killing Joke did, but I still don't like that.
Is it just me or the fact that Bruce Wayne was fawning all over Barbara Gordon, which would never happen, really, to be honest.
It happened in Killing Joke.
Well, okay.
You can't say never.
I'm hoping this to God that when Joss Whedon makes his Batgirl movie, he's not going to look like, you know, I should do that too.
Yeah.
I'm hoping Joss Whedon has enough sense in his head to not have Ben Affleck make out with Batgirl.
I think Joss Whedon's going to write in the death of Robin with that. She's broke up about her boyfriend dying.
I hope so.
And then eventually it's going to be revealed that her boyfriend that died is the Robin that... that was killed by the Joker.
Well, here's the thing. The Lego Batman thing is that they just... I mean, like, they were really force-feeding the whole adopting thing with Robin and the whole... It's like, why let's just focus on the fun of the adventure and the fun of the relationship.
Yeah, but if you...
Whoa!
Whoa!
Everybody got that on camera. Totally yes, it will be.
I mean, if you get into, you know, the dynamic between the characters, I mean, I think that there was a lot of silliness at work with the Lego, the original Lego movie.
For sure.
And then the whole, like, family thing that happened with Will Ferrell outside of that Lego town. Like, that's just something that's kind of, you know, internal to that franchise.
So you're saying that's the makeup of the franchise. Yeah, okay, I gotcha. Oh, that makes sense.
And I think that that's what... Alika was trying to say,
but it's
too.
Still it's a just bad like movie,
the,
though.
Yeah, it's a no, Lego it's movie. You're not expecting anything deep, but people go in there with a preconceived notion of what should and shouldn't be in there because it's Batman.
Yeah,
and so you know.
Yeah, and am I the only one that thought it was weird that all the other Justice League members thought that Batman was a freak?
No,
well,
I mean,
no,
that's
exaggerated
consistent.
Version of what the Justice League thinks of him.
Yeah, I mean, he wouldn't be in the Justice League. If he was,
he's such an anomaly.
Freaky.
He's a human without powers. Yeah. Of course, everybody is going to feel weird about him being there.
Right. I don't know, but anyway, the Batman movie was okay. I mean, for sure.
You know who loved it was Shane O'Shaughnessy.
He loves everything goofy about Batman.
Yeah. He loves all the 66,
which I appreciate. Like I love the TV show. I love the 66 movie. It was great.
Yeah.
I'm totally down with that. I remember watching as a kid, and. You know, like Kevin Smith said in an interview, when you're watching the original 66 Batman, it wasn't campy. It was serious. You really wanted to, you know, you were in suspense with Adam West and all them.
Yeah.
And that's how I watched it as a kid with my dad. Would, you know, I would watch the original Star Trek, the original Batman,
absolutely.
And Speed Racer. And earnestly watch those things and be engrossed in it.
For sure.
Or talking about the 60s properties. Yeah,
yeah. Well, listen, since we're on the subject of DC, the final subject for tonight is, of course, Injustice 2, which hit consoles this week. Last week. I had an opportunity to pick it up myself. Injustice 2 is amazingly good for a fighting game. The story so far, because I haven't finished it, is actually a lot of fun.
Yeah, as long as you're a character with good range.
I really liked it. And then, hey, Todd, why don't you wait, because we're almost done. 2 seconds. All right,
Todd looks like he's been waiting for the
whole
hour.
I know, he has been. Just wait. We're almost done.
Todd, why don't you just yourself from the rest of the class and go with that.
Open the bottle up, and then you can go in there. Anyway, no, really quick.
I already did.
So Injustice 2, we're talking about. You got to finish the campaign. Was it enjoyable? Story is excellent.
Story mode, yeah.
Story mode is excellent. By the way, the setup for Injustice 2, if you want to know, is really simple. Joker gassed Superman, and Joker killed Lois, was it? And then Superman, in turn, kills the Joker. So he's a different
this one,
Superman.
Supergirl is a bigger part of the storyline.
Oh, yeah, she is. She is, for sure. So, but anyway, we'll just start off with that. If you have not played it yet, if you like fighting games... It's really good. The gear system is a lot of fun. It's a lot of grinding, but still very fun. And the graphics are phenomenal. So it looks really good, too.
It's a really great-looking game.
It's a fantastic-looking game. And I really enjoy it, and I'm not a big fighting game fan, but I think everybody is drawn well. The story moves, man. It just jumps from one chapter to the next, and it's like, ooh.
And it kind of keeps you invested, because there's different modes you can play, like the multiverse. And,
yeah,
you
know, the multiverse thing is really cool, too.
You can play against other guys online and stuff like that.
Outfitting the characters is really fun. So there's a lot of longevity. There's a lot
How many
of
stars do you give it?
If I were to give it a star rating, I haven't finished it yet, so it wouldn't be fair. But
you never finish games.
Yeah, it's true. I don't. Shut up, Todd. I'd give it four stars.
I mean, it's a fighting game.
It's a fighting. You know it's true. Like, it's a good point. Yeah. So if you haven't picked it up, Injustice 2 is worth every single penny. You will love it. It's a lot of fun.
If you're a DC fan and you like fighting games, then it's your cup of tea.
Oh yeah,
if you're not big on those characters,
the cutscene animations and like the special moves, especially Swamp Thing's ones, like. There's a lot of detail in it, and it's specific to what character you're playing as and against.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of fun little things to.
I didn't know this, but apparently the gear also affects how you fight too.
Right, right.
Yeah. I didn't realize that it was that deep.
Yeah, the gear affects how you fight.
Can change the way you fight.
And the gear, ironically enough, from what my understanding is, from what I've read, because I haven't gone into it enough, is that the gear that you are allocated goes to each hero's weakness. So for someone like the Flash, who's super fast, will get something that brings up his strength or his or something to that effect. Which I thought
so
was cool.
So far, all I got was a chess piece for him.
Oh, you did.
That's all I got for him so far.
All I'm going to tell you is this: Injustice 2 is way better than Injustice 1.
It's got a role playing.
Yeah, I like it. I like
the
it.
Gear system.
There's something. It's very lasting.
Yeah,
it's going to have a lasting appeal, I believe. So
I think almost everybody that makes a fighting game tries to keep coming up with different concepts to keep you playing because after a while you do lose interest.
Yeah, and you have to and. There's only one thing that I wish that this one did that I would love to have seen is that I wish they had a tag mode in it where you could play.
You know what's weird? The mobile version of the game has that.
Yes!
I was about to say that.
Yes!
The mobile version of the game, you could tag up to two other people.
Please.
So I was like, what?
Yeah.
Why can you do that in like the phone version of the game but not in the actual version?
Please.
But then again, for all we know, they might add that mode later.
I hope so. NetherRealms, if you're watching on Facebook Live or listening, tag mode, please, for the love of God.
I want the Watchmen characters in the game more than that.
Yeah, I can't wait.
There's been a big rumor about that one.
So it's very cool.
G.
Yes, sir.
Before the show started, and that was a long time we were
almost an hour and a half.
I and Collector J were outside talking. We were just talking about like the weakest special moves. Which character you believe has like the worst one? For me, it's Batman.
I don't know. I'm really because he's
Batman, but only because you want him to have a cooler one.
Yeah, but I like the whole Michael Keaton thing.
He's
that was cool.
I think as a starter character, Batman's pretty cool. Right now, I'm still learning the moves. I think that I've only been playing the ones that are in the story mode, but I really enjoy watching Swamp Thing. I want to learn his stuff. I played Supergirl. She's good, man. I like her.
Supergirl is like one of the best characters.
Yeah, I like her a lot in the game. So
they put a lot of attention into her.
Yeah, they did. So it did very well. So check it out if you're a gamer. Heck, even if you're not, it's actually enjoyable enough that you can sit through all the cutscenes and you'll get the gist of the story, and it's really good. So check it out, Injustice 2. All right, well, listen, we're an hour and a half in. Todd's got to pee, so we've got to go.
You don't know why that's got to leave.
I've
got to leave
for an extra 45 minutes.
I almost do because we didn't talk about WWE Backlash, which is a real shame. Stop it. We didn't talk about...
before that...
We didn't talk about NXT TakeOver, which was really cool as well this weekend, but we'll get to those later.
That main event of TakeOver was great.
It was fantastic. So,
you guys can talk about it. I'm leaving.
Oh, shut up. Anyway, listen, we are out of time, boys and girls. YouTube and Akaku, we're out of time. We'll see you guys next week. We're going to be talking about Twin Peaks when everybody has a chance to watch it. Logan, we'll talk about. I'll probably watch that again. A lot of stuff coming up next week. And as we all know already, tomorrow, there'll be some really cool news that'll happen, and we'll talk about it on Tuesday.
Usual. It happens every... We'll be talking about the two Spider-Man trailers that dropped today before we started recording.
Yeah, that's true. We Spider-Man Homecoming got a couple of new trailers. We'll talk about those next week as well. Please follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdwatch. Please like the page. You guys can download this podcast on iTunes and Audio Boom. You guys can follow us on Twitter at Nerdwatch Nation. You can follow us on Instagram at @the_nerdwatch. I'm posting more now, which is very cool.
Also, if you're watching on Facebook, my band is playing at the Dirty Monkey on May 25th.
Monkey.
This Thursday. So if you want to watch me play music, you can do that.
Yeah, you can watch
it. If you're watching this on Akaku or anything else, then don't bother. It already happened.
You know, Chris Dack was actually promoting you guys all over the station.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
He does. Well, listen, guys, please also follow us on Patreon or on YouTube at Nerdwatch Nation as well. And then please, if you'd like to, we are fully fan-funded. Patreon.com/TheNerdWatch.
If you look at our set, as you can see, we're fully fan funded.
So check us out. We'll be back next week. So for the absent Todd, for Gannon, whose show is this week at the Dirty Monkey, and then
Front Street,
right on Front Street. If you're in Maui, then of course the henchman Swan and the chairman of the Comic Report, Alika, and for the cameraman,
the ever present
and always sleepy Kai, the fluffy guy is we're out of time. So until next week.
You ran out of steam halfway through this introduction.
Out, much
if
love.
You all can see Kai's face right now. It makes the whole show.
It's golden.
Loud.
Peace yeah. out.
He
much love.
He kind of looks like Richard Gere from Officer and a Gentleman.
Oh, he does.
Handsome.
All right. Well,
oh
let me
my
get.
God. Yeah, he does.
Let me get this outro so we can get out of here. Peace out. Much love, and most assuredly, always stay nerdy. And until next week, we say to you guys, Aloha.